Turn with me to John chapter 4. As you turn there, as a young person, say, how young? Well, young. One of the most concerning threats you could make to somebody would tell them, well, I'm not going to invite you to my birthday party. Those were fighting words. You knew you had crossed the line. Give me a little bit more. All right. You knew you have crossed the line. There's fun. And then if the words came out, I'm not going to invite you to my birthday party, you know you have broken fellowship with your fellow 7-year-old. Because that's a big deal. We all get a ton of junk mail. Every now and then, family or someone that we know, friends, getting married. We love going to weddings. And about 8 weeks before the wedding, maybe now maybe 3-4 months before the wedding, we'll get the save the date card, right? Hey, we got a wedding coming. Save the date. Then we'll get the official envelopes, you know, the envelope within the envelope. And do I keep this envelope? I don't know what to do. They go to church. I'm just going to hand it to them. But they have the self. And then you get the invitation to the wedding. Man, we're excited about that. What is it an indication of? Well, that we mean somebody to something. Or we mean something to somebody there. That we've made an impact in their life. The fact that they would, on their most special day, invite us to that, that they want us as witnesses. I understand funds don't always allow where you can invite everybody that you've wanted to. But the core group of people usually come. Make a way, maybe travel some. But it indicates by the invitation that you mean something to them. And it's no different in the Scriptures. See, Christ constantly is inviting us to what? Himself. There's a series of time, you can ask my family, where we would bring gifts, and sometimes it was just short on time. You can ask my brother, and we would have it like wrapped up in a bag. So like, here's the gift, but it's wrapped up in a bag. But they were always nice gifts. Well, at least we felt like it was. And you know, sometimes we feel like, well, just as long as they do something nice for me, I'll keep inviting. Why do little kids have birthday parties? Why are we having a birthday party for the 1-year-old? One day, Jackson's going to have a 1-year-old birthday party. How many of you remember your 1-year-old birthday party? Not at all. I don't remember much before 8, honestly. Maybe around 6 or so, certain things. Why do we do that? Well, it's to get them stuff. An expression of their love. And then I think about Christ and I say, why do you invite me to you? What do I bring you? I bring you, as we sang this morning, trouble. I bring you heartaches. I bring you tears. I bring you sorrow. That's how I come. Are you sure this invitation is supposed to come to me? Maybe you don't really know who I am. And the Lord says, no, I know exactly who you are. And the invitation still stands. Isn't that good to know that God knows everything about us, and yet He still invites us to His side? John chapter 4 and verse 6. John chapter 4 and verse 6. We sang that song, Come Unto Me. Here, the Lord invites someone to come unto Him. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey. There we see a little of the humanity of Christ. Wearied from His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria. The Samaritans and the Jews did not get along well. They both thought the other, well, the Jews certainly looked down on the Samaritans. And the Samaritans did not respond kindly to that. But Christ is different. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. John chapter 3, we're told of a person. His name is who? Nicodemus. Nicodemus, well-educated, intelligent. You know, as adults, every now and then, maybe you spend a lot of time with children. I know Miss Amy, I don't know where she is, but I saw her here this morning. Claver, there we are. She spends a lot of time with her three little ones. They homeschool. So I'm sure when Eddie comes home, she just wants some intelligent conversation. I don't want to be talking about paste and putty and glitter and circles and Superman. I just want to talk about real life. And Christ is having an intelligent conversation with Nicodemus. And then we go to John chapter 4. And here we find the Samaritan, the woman at the well. He was not going there to have intelligent conversation. He was going there to meet a need. Hey, let's remember that when Christ came to us or called us unto Him, it was not because He didn't need us. We needed Him. We just failed to see it, brother. He calls us unto Himself not because of some great thing we have to offer. He calls us unto Himself because He knows that He has a great thing to offer us. As we continue, for His disciples were gone. He says this to her, give me a drink in verse 8. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? Here we see the conflict of the culture or race. Which am a woman of Samaria. Two flagged points there. Number one, you ought not to be dealing with me in public, man to woman. Also, of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, it says. We don't deal, remember President Bush years ago said, I'm sorry, we don't deal with terrorists. I'm sorry, Jews don't deal with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. See, maybe you walked in here this morning thinking, I have something to offer the Lord. When in fact, He has so much to offer you. And He calls you unto Himself. He called her. He says, hey, come here. Give me a drink. And that, you know, maybe that's the wrong tone. Maybe that's not how we actually said it. But in verse 10, I feel like that's important. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him. Again, let us remember who it is that is bidding us. In verse 11, the woman saith unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. See, we look at the Lord and go, what can You do for me? Here, the woman at the well is looking at Christ and saying, what can You offer me? You don't even have a cup, a bucket, a cistern to get water out with. And the well is deep from whence thou hast, then hast thou that living water, she asks. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Look at verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That is a true statement. My children, if you say the words bedtime, immediately an overwhelming desire to drink comes upon them. They've been playing for the last 2 hours and now it's time to get ready. Dad, I need a drink. Or they're in bed and they get out. I need a drink. Don't need a drink. If you needed a drink that bad, to the point of tears. Stop crying, you're wasting all your water, I tell them. If you need a drink so bad, why didn't you get... I forgot. I forgot I needed a drink. And sometimes we find ourselves in the dry places of life. And Christ is calling unto us, come unto me. I have something to offer you. A drink that will satisfy. See, that's what water does. When we fast, maybe you drink water, right? That does not fill us up. It is to satisfy a need within. On a hot summer day, if someone came and there we were, and it's warm out, and we just maybe we're at football practice or soccer practice, ladies, or doing something, maybe working in the yard, it's hot, it's sweaty, working on a tractor or something outside, and it's been warm, it's the summer days, they say, I can't imagine, I don't understand, but let's use our imagination today, this morning, and there you are, and you come inside, and what do you smell? A beautiful roast and chocolate chip cookies, and you're like, save all that, I just need a drink of water. And you know, the Lord has a way of, well, bringing us through maybe some dry times in our life. And listen to this. The dry places teach us to both want most and to seek most what we need most. When we're going through a dry time with the Lord, it creates a need in us that only He can satisfy. The question is this morning, where do you go when you thirst spiritually? Oftentimes we try and we go and satisfy it ourselves, maybe getting a little bit of comfort for a moment, but all too often that expires. God says, come unto me, and the water that I can give you, you will never thirst again. See, Christ, it is satisfying. John chapter 7 and verse 37 says these words. John 7:37 says this. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, hey, here this morning, are you thirsty? Say, yeah, now that you mention it, that glass of water. No, spiritually, are you thirsty? Psalm chapter 63 says this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Listen now, my soul thirsteth for thee. See, God put that in us. A need for Him. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Hey, the psalmist recognizes I've gone from this coast to that coast, north and south, and I've looked and I find no satisfaction outside of you, Lord. I've tried to satisfy it, but only you. We'll waste our time trying to satisfy our soul's thirst with anything that this world offers of its comforts. He bids us to come unto Him. He says this, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And He goes on to say in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory. So, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 63, 1 and 2. Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. The thirst of the soul only satisfied through Christ. We know our woman at the well. We know the story well. We're familiar with it. And she tried many a times in her own life to satisfy her soul's cravings with the pleasures of this life. And you know what she was? Thirsty. One interaction with Christ. And you know what she did? She went back home and said, I found somebody. She invites her fellow countrymen. She says, come see a man. Psalm 42. Why? Because she got help. Before we look at Psalm 42, every single person in life goes through difficult times. Every single one. Say, I have not. It's a matter of time. Every woman is the woman at the well. Every man is the man, or is the woman at the well. Say, that sounds weird. Every person is like that. And every person that has ever met Christ has been satisfied by Christ. Only all too often we just stay at the well. We don't go and we don't shine the light of Christ. And we don't go and say, hey, come see a man. I would like to introduce you to somebody that helped me. Because I was right where you were at. I was seated at the well, thirsty. You understand the need that you have is the same need that everybody else has? Us thirsting for God Himself. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As the deer, right? As the hart panteth after the water. Does my soul crave the Lord? Understand this. Whatever drinks that we have drunk, offered by this world, we will walk away thirsty yet again. Only those who partake in the Spirit of His grace and the comforts of the gospel shall never want that which will abundantly satisfy their soul. Christ invites us to come. And how does He invite us? Those that are thirsty for Him. Say, I have nothing to offer you, Lord. I just need. And He says, yep, come on. Come unto me. You understand that you don't have to have your life all in order and all satisfied and all figured out. No, He seeks after those that are a mess. How have you found the Lord when your life was a mess? That's what He is an expert in. Because you tried to satisfy your soul without Him. And you can't. John chapter 6. Come unto me, those that are thirsty, and He will satisfy. Come unto me, He says in John chapter 6 and verse 32. The point of this message is not to magnify or glory in the difficulties of life, but to I want to use my words correctly here. To encourage or invite or nudge us to where we can get help. Say, Pastor, I'm so ashamed. I need help. You show me someone in this Bible that didn't need help. You show me, we can go door after door after door, house after house, town after town, city after city, country after country, and everybody needs help. Say, I'm ashamed, I need help. You're human. You need the Lord. Stop wasting your time trying to do it yourself. Come unto Him. John chapter 6 and verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. How did manna show up? Was Moses doing that? Was he out going every night, spreading manna on the... No, God rained it down. He says, but who? But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Do we find it strange? Here, I'm sorry. I get distracted in my mind. Verse 34. Then said he unto them, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Is it not strange to us, or is it not encouraging maybe to us that our two greatest needs, God says, that's who I am. For us to sustain life, we were outside a little bit yesterday, maybe shoveling. Anybody shovel these last couple days? Sure, right? Maybe some of you, we were driving to church in the morning and this guy was snow blowing. The snow blower guys, ever meet those guys? Anybody have a snow blower? What a blessing. I praise the Lord for you. So the snowblower guys, when the snow is about this high, they're out there in their snowblower, right? They're snowblowing dust. They love it because they don't get to use it often. So they're out there snowblowing, and there we are, and we're driving down, and Joe says to me, he goes, Dan, why don't we get one of those? I said, because I have two of those sitting right here. You, you, and your brother, right? That's what we had, boys. And no, we're to raise them and love them and nurture them. But one of the side benefits is that they do shovel. And they did a great job shoveling. We came home. We were out of town, and we came home, and the driveway was fully shoveled. Hey, your boys can shovel. I'm just letting you know. I say, how do you know? Because boys can do that, and it's a blessing. Anyways, so there we were, and we're watching the snowblower guys, and I don't know. We saw snowblower guys, and oh, yes. We look at that and go, I need that. No, I don't need that. I would like that. I don't even know if I'd like that. I'm not good with small engine mechanics, and those things just go badly bad on me. Unless you spend a couple $1,000s on one. But our two great... He doesn't say, I am the snowblower of heaven. No, he says, I'm the bread of life. Because that's our actual need. Our two greatest needs... Water and food. And he says, that's who I am. Now, although much to the amazement of my own children, food is not just always to be pleasuring. Eat your peas. Eat your spinach. I don't like spinach. I don't care. I don't care if you like it or not. It's helpful to you. It will give you strength, and it'll be beneficial to you. See, water satisfies the soul, but food fills us. And Christ says, did he make a mistake? Did he not know that the two things? And we look at this and go, these are synonymous. They are not. Because I can fast and drink and not be filled. But God says, come unto me that hunger. And he says, I'll fill you. Look at Psalm 81. Anybody ever hear George Mueller? George Mueller? Great man in Germany. Great man of faith, of prayer. Psalm 81, one of the verses that he read and prayed to God and said, God, I'd like to prove this. Sam, do you have Psalm 81:10? Can you read out loud to us? He says, I'll fill you. I am the bread of life, he says, and you open up, you come unto me, and I will fill you with what the world could never fill. We have nibbled so long at the table of the world that unfortunately we are stuffed with small things, and God is offering great things. Wouldn't it be a shame that if we were so filled with ourselves or what the world had to offer, that there'd be no room for God? And God says, come unto me, because I am the bread of life. And I can fill you. And I can meet your needs. He tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 that we ought to hunger after righteousness. What do you hunger after? What are you looking for from the Lord? 2 Timothy chapter 4, I like these verses. Not that it necessarily has to do with hunger, but there is a longing, a desire for something. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Do you desire anything, Paul, then? If you're at the end of your life, what do you want? What are you hungering after? He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Is there a hungering, a desire to see the Lord? Is there a desire, a craving within us to finish well and to see God himself? See, when we're right with the Lord, well, we want to see the inspector. Anybody ever involved in quality control, when they're doing right and they're assembling right, they want the inspector to come by. When they're cutting corners, they don't want the inspector to come by. We see this all too often in our school. I'll just go up and it's like the Lord gives me insight, Mrs. DeMeo. And I'll just go up and say, can I see your math page? All the blood just leaves their face. Why do you want to see? Is there a problem? I'll tell you in a minute. Let me see. I look through and, oh, these are unscored. There's a signature that belongs here. Why didn't I? And then they don't know their name. They don't know their words. And what happened? The inspector come by. I didn't want you to come by my desk. Sometimes I go into the classroom and all of a sudden I'll see two or three flags come down. Going in to be a help. I say one thing to one person and I just see no one even looks. They just do this. Why? They don't want the inspection to come. How many of us are longing, hungering to see God? No, Lord, you can take your time. Why? Are things not right? Are things not right? Come unto me that thirst, that are hungered. As I said this morning, real life is real life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. There's a lot of scared people living out there in the world. Afraid of death, afraid of the government, afraid of God himself. And God says, that's not how you ought to live. He says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So where does it come from? If God doesn't give it to us, how does it show up? Well, either I put it there, or it's a result of lack of trust. I did not come up here hesitantly, worried about every step. Why? Because I saw it be made and Seth did a great job and I feel like this can hold me up. If I was sitting down there, I saw the choir up here, and surely if the choir can stand up here, it's strong enough to hold me. At our house, we have these folding chairs, and now they're old and they're wooden. And they kind of, when you sit in them, they kind of wobble a little bit side to side. It makes me a little nervous. I don't like sitting in them. And I'll sit in them and kind of lock my legs together and hold them. I'm fearful of it because I don't trust it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why on earth would I fear God? Maybe it's because I don't trust Him. Now we're not talking about that reverential trust. We're talking about being afraid of. Why would I fear anything in this world? Because I don't trust the Lord. See, fear is a result of lack of trust. In Isaiah 43, He calls the fearful unto Him. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're thirsty, man, I know a place that you could be satisfied. If you're here this morning and your soul is hungered for the things of the Lord, I got a place for you to go. Say, Walker Bible Baptist Church, Jesus Christ Himself. If you're here this morning and you're fearful, oh, I don't know what's to come. I don't know. Isaiah 43:1 says, But now thus saith the Lord, which created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What do I have to fear? Turn back to Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Why is he constantly having to reaffirm to not be afraid? Why? Because we lack trust. We don't trust him. We don't trust the world. We don't believe that someone could possibly have our best interest as much as he says. And he constantly has to reaffirm, hey, come unto me. I know you're fearful. Come unto me. I will give you strength. I will help you. Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Telling me there are times when I get fearful. And God says, when you're like that, I need you to come unto me. Not run from him. See, that's our tendency. When we get afraid, what do? We shun the one that can actually help us. And he says, no, I need you to get closer. I can help you with this. I can give you strength. I can give you confidence. I can give you direction. I can give you... Well, as we read in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I can give you my presence. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. He says, I can help you. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He offers help. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. We're almost done this morning. I just want to let you know this morning that no matter where you're at, if you're thirsty, come, he can satisfy you. If you're hungered, come, he can fill you. If you're fearful this morning, come, and he can give you strength. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says this, there is no fear in love. Is that true? Why? Because love produces trust. Trust. There is no fear in love. If I love God, then I know he loves me. I don't have to worry. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Aren't those encouraging words? Hey, this morning, if you're fearful, say, I came in a little like that. Not like afraid of a snake or a spider or the dark. I know some of you guys still sleep with the lights on. And that's fine. I mean, that's what you need to do. But here, that soul fear, God says, I've not given you that. I actually want to take that from you. If you're here this morning, why don't you come unto him with your fears and place your trust back in him? Lastly, Matthew chapter 11. I would say probably the familiar verses unto us. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, the invitation stands. Who have we seen that Christ is inviting unto himself? All those that have it all together? No. those that thirst, those that hunger, those that are fearful, and look at this, those that are overwhelmed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I want to examine those two words, labor. Labor indicates not just work, but hard work. Hey, if you're working really hard and you're caught up in the labors of this life, overwhelmed by it, he invites you to come unto him. Jonathan Edwards says this, there was sweet contentment in coming to the Lord. The soul that tastes it desires no better pleasure. There is satisfaction in it. Sweet contentment in bringing our labors to the Lord. Labor toward heaven? No. Galatians 2:16 tells us that we do not labor towards heaven. Write it down. Look it up. We know that a man is not justified by the law, but by his faith in Jesus Christ. So what are we overwhelmed with? What labors? Well, let's talk about it for a minute. What labors are overwhelming to us? I'd sit there, but I can't reach. I need a little stool. I'm going to sit over here. What labors are overwhelming? Any fathers here? That's overwhelming. So you chose it. I understand I chose it. I didn't know what I was getting into, brother. I thought I had parenting all figured out, and then I had a kid. And each step of life is different than the previous one. It feels like just when I get a hold of what they are and who they are, they grow up more. Sure. That's overwhelming. Because I want them to walk in the things of God. And I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make them do that. And I want it so bad. Family's overwhelming. Sometimes faith is overwhelming. Christianity's, it's wonderful. Sometimes you get weary in well doing, the Bible says. What do you do when that happens? That's just real life. That's where we find ourselves. You say, have you been peeking in my front window? No, your window's just like my window. The same overwhelming feelings that you have, I have. All people have. So what do I do with them? Come unto me, he says. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Finances are sometimes overwhelming. Nowhere in this passage do I see that he takes away the labor. He just helps me carry it. Yoke up with me, he says. We're familiar with the yoke of oxen. It's to bear the load. He doesn't tell us to drop it and run. He doesn't tell us that he's going to remove it. He's just going to help us get through it. So when family gets tough, do we just abandon? No. We yoke up with God and allow him to help us get through. When faith gets tough, do I just stop coming? Do I stop reading? Do I stop praying? Do I stop being a Christian because it got a little difficult? No. We yoke up. Christ invites those that labor and are heavy laden. If you're here this morning and you're heavy burdened, say, what's wrong with me? You're living life. That's part of it. The question is, what are you going to do with it? If you're here this morning and your soul thirsts for God, would you come and meet him? He can satisfy your need. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, much like he invited the woman at the well to come and taste of that drink and she'd be satisfied. My soul is satisfied. If you're hungering here this morning for the righteousness of Christ, would you come and let him fill you? If you're here walking in fear, would you come and trust him? If you're here this morning heavy burdened and heavy laden, would you come and allow him to not take it, but to yoke up and to make it lighter? We were at a picnic over the summer, and we have a cooler, one of those Coleman coolers. Remember before Yeti was around, there was a Coleman cooler? Held ice for about 3 minutes, and there we are. And Sarah loaded every cold item that we've ever had in our house into this thing. Drinks, lunch stuff, and we're at the beach there, and we get out, and just, can you grab that? And lift it up, and oh my word, it was heavy. Sam comes over, hey, let me get the other side. And there we were. Man, we didn't lose the burden, we just shared it. We didn't leave it in the car, we didn't abandon. No, when these things in our life show up, we don't abandon. Christ says, come unto me and I'll help you. I'll carry the other side. It's manageable, but not by yourself. Say, what's wrong with me? Nothing. God designed you with things in your life where you're going to need God. And he says, come unto me. Let's all stand. If you're here athirst, can I invite you to come? If you're here hungered, can I invite you to come? If you're here fearful this morning, can I invite you to come? If you're overwhelmed here this morning, can I invite you to come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, not to dwell on our difficulties, but to dwell on the help that you offer. Lord, I pray that we'd run to you, call out to you. Lord, would you help us? Lord, I'm thankful that you offer a solution to our troubles. That our greatest needs are only to be satisfied by you. Lord, thank you. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. Wherever people are at, I pray that they come unto you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?